warning, warning, there's truth overhead. It gets beyond all the headlines you read. Don't need lip service with a wink and a nod. You need a man on a mission from God. Well, not to worry, here's Bob in your life.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. 5 years ago, there was an explosive advance in the availability of historical evidence for the books of Genesis and Exodus. That advance came from documentary filmmaker Tim Mahoney in the form of the nationwide release as a Fathom event in theaters everywhere of his film Patterns of Evidence, The Exodus. In a moment, Tim Mahoney will join us to talk about this highly anticipated sequel, Patterns of Evidence, The Moses Controversy, which is in theaters in 2 days from now, beginning Thursday, March 14th on 900 screens, and then again on Saturday, March 16th, and finally on that next Tuesday, March 19th, our church, Denver Bible Church, we've bought up half a theater so far here in the Denver area. For years, as defenders of the scriptures, we've had plenty of evidence, physical, historical, and otherwise, for major happenings, including the creation, the fall, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But for one of the most dramatic historical events, the Exodus, we've always had precious little evidence outside of the scriptures. Now, for you and I, for those who know the Bible is God's word, that's not a problem. But the book of Hebrews says that faith is the evidence for things not seen, and God in Scripture does point to the evidence for his existence, for the truth of his word. Look at the stars, look at creation, look at the prophecies, and so on. Here at Bob Enyart Live, we've had the honor of screening the sequel. So now to hear about Patterns of Evidence, The Moses Controversy, from the filmmaker himself, Tim Mahoney, welcome back to Bob Enyart Live.
Hi, Bob. It's great to be back.
Well, thank you so much for this film, Tim. You start out saying that Moses, the critics say Moses could not have written the Bible, that Hebrew didn't exist back then. That's the Moses controversy. So what a film this is.
Yeah, I didn't know that we were going to make this film, Bob. In fact, this wasn't on our plan, but we were going to actually go from the first film, which was Patterns of Evidence, The Exodus, and then go on the route of the Exodus. And
yes.
I think even at the end of that film, we showed a scene of the water lapping on the Gulf of Aqaba there. Mm. And we were going to look for, well, what sea did they cross and what mountain did they go to? But what happened was that I was doing these interviews with different scholars from around the world, and I kept hearing people say, well, listen, you can't really even go with the rest of this story because we know that it didn't happen. Moses didn't write the first books of the Bible. And I knew that we'd be constantly faced with this challenge that the descriptions about the route and the Exodus and the sea parting was all going to be just a fairy tale. So I felt that we had to deal with this question of Moses' authorship next.
So the authorship of Moses is attacked in a number of ways, including that there was no Hebrew alphabet at the time, there wasn't a reading public, and so on. Tim, what I love about your films, two things. One is you give the critics their say. You go to the people who've made a name for themselves in maybe not killing biblical archaeology, but writing the obituary for it, like with William Deaver. You let them make their case, and you don't catch them off guard, you don't trick them, but they present the core of their arguments against the historicity of the Bible. And what that does, I think, for a mass audience, you're taking arguments that were the domain of scholars who would then say to the public, trust us, we know, and a lot of people believe them, and you're making that accessible to the general public. This is one of the most significant advances in apologetics that has come about in my lifetime.
Oh, well, thank you. you know, I like these people that I'm talking with, and I want to hear what they have to say. Obviously, they came to an understanding, and I wanted to understand why they believe those things. Do you know, in, as we show in the film, the first three men that I interview that are very well-known scholars, Egyptologists, archaeologists, and Bible scholars, all of those men were born into a Christian Bible-believing home. Hmm. Some of them, their fathers were pastors. But what happened was, is over time, when they went off to seminary and to, you know, higher learning, they were basically told that the stories of the Bible didn't happen. And I think they lost their faith in the Bible and faith in God.
Well, that's happened to untold numbers of people. And sadly, our seminaries and even our Bible colleges, when they adopt a somewhat secular view of history, then you could count on it that the pastors they send out to the pulpits across America and much of the world, those pastors are going to teach their congregations that Exodus is, it's mythological. Maybe not quite like the Greek myths, but there's more myth than history to the Exodus. And certainly they say the same thing about Genesis and the same thing about Joshua and Jericho and the conquest in Palestine. So this cuts at the very foundation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. If the beginning of the Bible is not true, then why should we think that at some point it becomes true?
Exactly. In fact, well, I attribute a line in the film, which I'll hold for a moment, but Jesus himself says this, "For if you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote of me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words?" Hmm. That's in John chapter 5, verses 46 and 47. What I realized is that Jesus was talking, you know, to the Pharisees who were probably, you know, not looking at the Torah. They were looking at other documents and other things, and they were putting on Pharisee interpretations of things. And Jesus was trying to say, you know, he was acknowledging the fact that, you know, you don't even believe in the writings of Moses. But guess what? That same challenge is here today. For if you believed Moses, well, people are saying, I don't believe Moses exists. I don't think that any of this exists. And that's why, in many cases, if you don't have an understanding of what Moses was writing about, you won't be able to see or understand who Jesus is.
Mm. And as you just quoted, Jesus didn't only say that Moses spoke of me. He said that Moses wrote of me. And Tim, this argument, maybe a couple years ago, a book came out, the first proto-consonantal alphabet. Mm-hmm. And I purchased it. Incredible book. You interview the author in the film. But the argument has been, and I've heard it my whole adult life, that there was no Hebrew alphabet. Moses could not have written about Jesus. If he had, there'd be nobody who could read what he wrote because the masses were illiterate. And then Jesus testifies of the historicity of the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible. So if those first five books of the Bible are not true, then the credibility of the Lord is lost, and the Gospels that report that he performed these miracles and eventually was raised from the dead, they're not reliable. So Jesus actually said that Moses wrote of me, and then you go to the scholars who make the case that he could not have. And what I think comes out of the film, Tim, and obviously people will watch this who've not evaluated the scholarly arguments, but I think overwhelmingly we could see the bias that regardless of how strong the evidence, if your bias is against the scriptures, then that's your conclusion.
Yes. Yep. I think that that's what we're seeing. And so you say, well, some people might say, and I hear this sometimes in comments on the internet, well, I don't need evidence. I believe it, and God, you know, I forgot there's a phrase. He wrote it, I believe it, and that's all I need, you know.
Yeah. And God said it, I believe it, that settles it. I don't know why they add the I believe it part, because God said it, that settles it.
Yeah.
And then whether you believe it or not, that's an important issue for you, but it's settled when God says it.
Right. And I grew up understanding that, and I grew up with that in my heart. But I started to understand that if you send your son or daughter or you go off to college, there's so many people. We have staff here that went to university or went to a Christian college, by the way, mm-hmm. and they took a Bible class. And guess what they were told? They were told that this isn't true, that Moses did not write the first books of the Bible. So then they know what the ramifications are, and they're very confused by that. Mm-hmm. And then they thought, well, if this isn't true, then what part can I believe? As I say in the film, you know, what parts can you believe and what parts can't you believe?
Mm-hmm.
You know? And so that's why I believe that addressing and revealing the pattern, the new pattern of evidence, the fact that we start to identify something incredibly powerful. And the thing I like about a documentary film is you go in with one idea that you're going to investigate something, and then you start to uncover something even greater.
Mm.
And you can see in this film, the question was, well, Moses, you know, didn't maybe exist, and he didn't write these first books. And so we say, well, what would we look for first? What would he have used to write the first books of the Bible? Mm. And that's when this amazing pattern emerges at the time of Joseph, which is these inscriptions. And somebody who lived in Egypt but was not an Egyptian, who was a Semitic person, started to modify Egyptian hieroglyphs into what becomes the first alphabet in the world.
Yeah, that part of the film is so stirring when you see the evidence that the first alphabet is arising in Egypt at the time when Joseph is basically the governor of the land for Amenemhat III. And then that alphabet disappears from Egypt and it reappears again in Israel.
Mm-hmm.
When the Israelites have now left in the Exodus, and after they're traveling in the wilderness, they end up in the Promised Land, and there's that alphabet again. So that's some of the evidence. There's so much evidence that you present, and the bias that comes across. I don't know if you recognize the name of a reporter, and she writes about archaeology and biblical archaeology. She works for Newsweek, actually. Her name is Nina Burley. So she came out here to interview me for a cover story a year after Patterns of Evidence came out.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a great interview. It was about trying to protect unborn children. And they're, of course, pro-abortion, but had some great quotes in this cover story. But I talked to her off the record about your work and the work of others and made the argument. She writes that the biblical archaeologists are biased. And so she tries to make her case. So I asked her, Nina, we're at the Brown Palace, downtown Denver. Nina, don't you think that the world-renowned Egyptologists and archaeologists who make their case against the Bible, don't you think they're biased? And she said, well, of course they're biased. And I said, don't you think that bias to them is important and it could easily make them miss evidence that others would be able to see? And she said, well, I'm sure that's true. So I went on the air the next day or so and told that account. We didn't record it, but it's so obvious, and your film shows it in a way that's undeniable, that evidence could be powerful, but the paradigm of the experts cause them to completely overlook it.
Yeah. Yeah, and I thought that adding the question of a paradigm was a great way to show. And a paradigm is a way that people think, and we can have entire generations and entire schools of thought that are blinding people to the possibility that there's a new way to look at things.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I was, for your audience to understand, is that a lot of times what's happening is that people are there is evidence for the Bible, but they won't see it. Because in their mind, and this attributed to you, is that you told me one time, and I thought that people insist that the Exodus happened at the time of Ramesses, when there's no evidence before the Exodus, but it had to have happened at that time.
Right.
You know, I have to give you credit because I was thinking that, and you said it.
Well, that's so nice of you. And Tim Mahoney, we have been struck by this uncanny phenomenon that not only do they say it was in the 13th century B.C., they'll even give a date, like it was 1270 B.C., and you say, what was? The Exodus. Well, I thought you didn't believe in the Exodus. No, there was no Exodus. Well, when did the Exodus happen, the one that didn't happen? It was in 1270 B.C. And so they look there, and the brilliance of your film, Patterns of Evidence, is the wall. And when you put Egypt's Old Kingdom, Middle Kingdom, New Kingdom, the intermediary periods, and then you shift the chronology to show that when you get the chronology right, the patterns of evidence, as Jesus said, the rocks themselves would start to proclaim the truth of who he is. You could see it, that the evidence lines up. Patterns are so powerful. And there it is, that the Exodus is the actual history of mankind.
Yes. Well, and that's why using the device of patterns of evidence is a very, very excellent device, because people today are enamored with science, right? Obviously, you know this, because your program is talking about it all the time.
Yeah, every Friday.
People believe that science will solve everything.
Mm.
And so what we said was, well, what if we take the scientific approach, which is looking for a pattern, and see if we can find a pattern of evidence that confirms or denies the story of the Bible. And when we do that, then it resists the interpretations that were created maybe 150 years ago that were then sort of doctrinally built upon by scholars, right?
Mm.
Because the scholars are teaching their students to behave and to think like they do.
Right.
But what if, I say, if those understandings are built on the wrong foundation? What if they don't have all the information? What if they were biased in some way?
Mm.
And the challenge that they have now is that the whole academy has a point of view. And if you don't live within that circle, you're outside of the academy and you might not get your degree.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody has to be a disciple of the professor.
Yes. In the film, we're talking about Patterns of Evidence, the Moses Controversy. You interview someone who's become one of my favorite Egyptologists. I mean, how many Egyptologists could you have that you consider one your favorite? But David Roll, I've just completed reading his book that came out with the film, with your film, Exodus Myth or History. And what's fascinating about David Roll is that he is not a believer. You know, we pray for him. We love the guy. He's brilliant. He is an agnostic, but he has done more than anyone else. You and David Roll, what a partnership to bring the evidence that's been uncovered in these archaeological digs and to bring it to the world in a way that people can weigh for themselves whether or not the evidence is there that Joseph was real and that the Israelites lived and prospered in Egypt and that they fell suddenly into slavery and that their children were dying, babies, infants, at an incredible rate. And suddenly they left. They just left Egypt. That evidence, Tim, it's now available to anyone who wants to provide an answer to those who ask for the hope that is within us.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, so this new film, Patterns of Evidence, the Moses Controversy, is going to be in a lot of theaters. And all they have to do is go to our website, patternsofevidence.com/Moses, patternsofevidence.com/Moses, and they can see a trailer and they can purchase their tickets. And we're encouraging people to bring family members. If you've got that cousin or uncle or the son who's been skeptical about the Bible, this is a great film to basically look at the whole argument. And this, I think, is a Bible-affirming film in a very fair way, right, wouldn't you say, once you've looked at it?
Oh, Tim, incredibly fair. That's what I like about your films. We create films on the Big Bang and the global flood. And I do my best, you know, to present the opposing position. But what you do is you go to the world's leading experts, and on camera, they present their own position. You can't get more fair than that. In 2 days, I will be in Decatur, Alabama, presenting to a wonderful Fairview Baptist Church a creation apologetics, a defense of the gospel from Genesis, from Exodus. And we have put on our website, kgov.com/Decatur, for people attending that event, the first thing is the 30-night showing at the local AMC Decatur 12, Patterns of Evidence, the Moses Controversy. So we're telling people who are attending, and we got a lot of people coming in from around the country also, we're saying, hey, don't think the event begins Friday night. It doesn't. It begins Thursday night, March 14th. Let's go to the movies. And so we're hoping to pack out that theater, and that's just down the street from NASA. They have a major facility there in Huntsville. So hopefully in Decatur, these screens will be sold out. You had a number of sold-out screens when the first Patterns came out. Do I remember that correctly?
That's right. Yep, we did. We had some cities where people were turned away and they weren't able to see the film, and that's why it's important to get your tickets in advance. We're trying to let everyone know, get your tickets in advance, because if we do sell a screen out, they have the ability in many theaters to add another screen. And so, but if we wait till the last minute and all sorts of people show up and they have to turn away people, and plus you want to get a good seat, right? You don't want to sit necessarily in the front row.
Yeah, great point. And so, we of course will link in today's show summary to your website, patternsofevidence.com, but it's so easy. Anybody could remember it. Go on your phone, right on your phone, buy the tickets, but also from our website, kgov.com/exodus, right at the top, there's a link to go and purchase tickets. And so, Tim, we're with you. We love you guys. You have built the most amazing team there. And this isn't your last film. Is that right? You're working on yet another Patterns film.
Yes, Bob, we ended up creating an outline, and we could see about another 50 hours just on paper. And we have been filming for 18 years. So the process of making a film, the type of films we make are very complex. They're woven together. And I think I can't get ahead of myself in making these films. But with the new film that we're working on after this is called Patterns of Evidence, The Red Sea Miracle. And we're going to look at the route of the Exodus to the sea. And we're looking at the question of miracles. Do miracles happen? Are miracles natural or naturalistic? You know, so this happens just to be the timing when things happen. Or do miracles actually, can God step in and do something like part water or bring a pillar of fire and lead the Israelites through the desert? You know, what does God act in history? That's basically the question. And the Bible says he does. And so we're going to investigate that.
Tim, the Red Sea miracle with David Rolls addressing that in his book, Exodus, Myth or History, it caused us to withdraw from our store a video we had on the Red Sea crossing, the location. And on the bottom of every one of our web pages, there's hundreds of pages on our website. There's a link and a rattle link to the errors we've made, the big errors over the years, and there's about a half a dozen big ones. And so we had to add one, and we said we've been wrong about the Red Sea crossing location, and we encourage people, if they want to return the videos they bought from us, we'll refund the money, and we recommend that people check out Appendix C of David Rolls' Exodus, Myth or History. So you guys are making an impact in the understanding of, you know, the typical Bible-believing pastor who's leading his own flock. So thank you for that.
Well, thank you. And once again, we're going to probably look at the different, well, I don't know, we're not going to just probably, we are looking at the different locations. So this will be really interesting. Some people would say the controversy between a near Egypt crossing at a Bitter Lakes or a wind setdown theory or a Gulf of Aqaba setting. So we're going to look at those different locations. And, boy, you know, it's like most documentaries. You have an idea, but it's going to be interesting to see how it unfolds.
How it plays out. And you're the best, Tim, at presenting both views in a way that not only educates, but you feel like you really got your money's worth going to the movies. You know, people love to go to the theaters. We love to go, but there's nothing to see. So now, in 2 days from now, there's Patterns of Evidence, the Moses controversy, and then we'll wait for the Red Sea miracle. And Tim Mahoney, thank you so much for joining us again here on Bob and Yurt Live.
Thank you, Bob, for having me.
You're very welcome. So that was Tim Mahoney, filmmaker, Patterns of Evidence, The Exodus, and now coming out in 2 days. Wow, I can't wait to see it in the theater. Patterns of Evidence, The Moses controversy. It was very kind of Tim to point out something that, boy, it would have been rude if we pointed it out ourselves. But we do have a knack here at Bob and Yurt Live and Real Science Radio of making the arguments as succinct as possible. And for Tim to say, after producing his film and all that worldwide acclaim, say, Bob, I got to hand it to you guys. You put it more succinctly than anyone ever has. That was neat. There's two other things we've shared with Tim that he may present in the opening minutes of his third film, Patterns of Evidence, The Red Sea Miracle, and I'll share with you what they are. First is he likes to go back, of course, as he does with the sequel now on Moses. He goes back and he summarizes the first film with incredible highlights, and it's so encouraging. And so here's what we presented to start with. And now we're going to look at the Moses controversy. So with the Red Sea Miracle, the third, it'd be a trilogy, except that there are going to be more films. And by the way, there is no other word for any number of films or books other than trilogy. And that's because, if you wonder why that would be, like there's no word for if they're two or if they're five or seven. There's no other, only for three. And if you wonder why that is, we take a stab at answering that question at our website, kgov.com/3. So easy. Put in the number, spell out the number, kgov.com/3. You'll see why we only have the word trilogy and no word for any other number of films or books. But in his third film, we said, Tim, it'd be wonderful when you're reminding people about the first film in doing your quick, you know, 60-second summary, if you can say, even the word Pharaoh is a Hebrew word, not an Egyptian word. And it was the Hebrews who gave the word Pharaoh, not only to the world, but to the Egyptians themselves. So powerful. If you're interested in that, you could go to kgov.com/Pharaoh. You'll see that. And then also, our own word alphabet, the word used around so much of the world, comes from the Hebrew alphabet, the first two letters, Aleph and Beit. So that's not in either of the films. So we said, Tim, what a powerful way to start part three. We'll see. God bless you guys. And we'll see you at the movies.